We invite you at this time to open your Bibles to John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 14. And let's think about Jesus' words of encouragement tonight. You know, we all need encouragement from time to time. Life has its ups and downs, and sometimes there are ups and sometimes there are downs. And in this particular passage, Jesus' disciples were having a down because Jesus had just announced to them that he was going away. And he told them in chapter 13 and verse 36, and specifically, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." And so the disciples wanted to follow Jesus. They said they would follow Jesus wherever he would go. Jesus knew that that wasn't going to happen because he knew that he was going to the cross and he was going to suffer. He didn't want his disciples to follow him to the cross. He wanted them to remain, and then after his resurrection, he wanted them to go out and preach the gospel to everyone. And so, but they didn't understand these things at this time. They were concerned about some of their own beliefs that were not true. They were concerned about their own desires. They were upset that their friend Jesus was leaving them, and they didn't know why completely. But then even after his resurrection in Acts chapter 1, the disciples are there gathered with him, and they ask him the question, "Lord, do you restore the kingdom to us at this time?" And Jesus was like, "Well, no, that's not what I'm going to do right now. It's not up to me to discern the times and everything," he said. But they had other things on their mind. It didn't really become completely clear to them until after the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. And they then understood that Christ's kingdom was to be something of a spiritual nature, not something of a physical nature. But nevertheless, here they are in this situation. And you know, we're like this so much. This is how we get. We don't completely understand everything. We don't know why things have to be the way they are. We don't understand why people leave us and sometimes leave not to come back again. And we do the best to try to understand. We do the best to communicate and to love the people that are around us. But then things happen and out of our control. And then the next thing we know, we're separated from others. Or something else happens within our life, or death has taken a loved one, or something of that nature, and we find ourselves discouraged, right? We find ourselves needing encouragement. And this is where the disciples were at. And so chapter 14, starting in verses 1 through 11, and then really continuing on through chapter 17, but we're not going to study all of that right now. We're just going to look at verses 1 through 14 this evening. Jesus gives them some wonderful words of encouragement. And it's these words that I would like to study with you tonight. And so I hope you have your Bibles open to John 14 and verses 1 through 14. And let's just read through those verses at this time. Jesus says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, And yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. These are very encouraging words. They are words that we need to hear over and over again. They are words that will give us strong support in times of trouble and in times of need. First of all, Jesus encourages us by telling us about a place. And that place is heaven. In John 1, verses 1 through 3, read what he says. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Those words have brought more comfort to more people over the last 2,000 years in which they've been spoken than I think any other words, perhaps with the exception of Psalm 23. Beautiful words, words that bring us comfort, words that help us to remember that this life is not all there is, words to help us understand that God's purpose is going to be accomplished, that He's going to bring everyone together that have trusted in His Son Jesus and have trusted in Him throughout the ages, and that we're all going to be together in one place, and that place is going to be big enough for everyone, and there's going to be room aplenty for us all to be there together. When I think about heaven, I think about a place that Jesus has gone to prepare, and a place that I long for and that we all long for with a lot of great desire. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 for just a moment. The Apostle Paul talks about some things that are temporary and some things that are eternal here. He says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And now look in chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And that is the desire of the Apostle Paul. That is the desire of all faithful Christians who want to be with God in heaven for eternity, that this life will melt away and that we'll get that new body and we'll be with Him forever. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And Jesus is going to come back to bring us to that place. He's coming back and we're going to see Him. Every eye shall see Him. Revelation chapter 1 tells us. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 15 through 18, the Apostle Paul talks about that great day. He says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we be forever with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And so we're going to see Christ again. He's going to come back and He's going to take us to that wonderful place that He has prepared for us. And what is that wonderful place like? Look at Revelation 22 and verses 1 through 5. "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And that's what it's going to be like. Jesus encourages us by telling us about a place. But then Jesus encourages us in John chapter 14 by telling us about a plan. Oh, the apostles, the disciples were sitting there listening to that, and they wanted to go where He was going. They wanted to be with Him, and they wanted to know the way to get there. And Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where You are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." And so Jesus has given us a plan. And what is the plan? Jesus is the plan. Jesus is the plan. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And we've got to understand who He is, and we've got to follow Him and give ourselves to Him. Put our trust and faith in Him so that we do what He says, and we trust in His will to save us. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there as Peter and John were being questioned by the Sanhedrin council, they had been brought before them for healing a man who was lame in the beautiful gates there of the temple. And they were wondering, well, in what name or in whose power did you do this? And their answer was, "By the name of Jesus Christ we have acted in this way." And then they say this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so salvation comes through Jesus, and only Jesus. And if we're going to be saved, it's going to be on His terms. It's going to be according to His will. It's going to be by His desires that we are saved. And we must trust and obey His plan in order to be saved. The plan that Jesus has given us is very simple. We've got to hear His message. He wants us to listen to Him. He wants us to obey Him. He wants us to study His Word. He wants us to learn about Him each and every day. "Come unto Me," He says, "and learn of Me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew chapter 11. And so, as Jesus tells us to come, He wants us to hear. But He wants us to hear with a view toward obedience. Not just to let it go in one ear and out the other, but to do something about it. To listen with a view toward obedience. That's what He said in Matthew chapter 7 there at the end of the chapter when He told the story of the wise man and the foolish man. The wise men built his house upon the rock. Foolish men built his house upon the sand. And the winds came and the waves came and the winds blew and the rains fell. And the man who built his house upon the rock, his house stood. The man who built his house upon the sand, it went flat, right? It went away. And then Jesus says this, the foolish man is the one who heard but did not do. The wise man is the one who heard and who went out and did what I told him to do. Okay? That's the application of that story. That's what that's talking about. And when we go out and do what Jesus told us to do, we'll be wise. We'll be wise people. So he wants us to hear with a view toward obedience. He wants us to believe in him. He wants us to believe in him. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. He wants us to believe in him. And we've got to put our faith and trust in him. You know, belief isn't just saying, oh yeah, Jesus is Lord. Okay, there, I'm done. I don't have to do anything about that anymore. That's not faith. That's not belief. Faith is when we trust in that which we believe. Okay? It's when we understand it, when we know it, when we practice it, we act upon it. We believe, for example, that a red light means stop. Right? We believe that. And when we see a red light, we act on that. We act on it. We believe that the principles of flight will hold true as long as an airplane is going at a certain velocity, you know? And so we trust in that. And we act upon that. We get on these airplanes and we fly all over the world in them. We put our faith in that. We believe in that. That's what belief is. That's what faith is. It's putting our trust in something. And Jesus, that's what Jesus wants us to do with him. He wants us to put our trust in him so that we're living for him each and every day. Not because he's egocentric, not because he's selfish or anything like that. Not because he's seeking to, you know, be some kind of world power or something like that. That's not right. And church organizations that believe that nonsense, that they need to be some kind of world power or some kind of country or something like that, they're against what Jesus taught because that's not what he wants. But we need to trust in him and live for him each and every day, and he will save us because he is the Savior. Now, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus told the disciples, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. You go out, and you make disciples of all the nations. Take the gospel message and tell them about me and about the possibility of salvation. That they can believe and have the hope of eternity. What we just talked about earlier in our first point. And he wants us to do that. He wants us to preach that and teach that. And we need to trust in him that he knows what he's doing. But he said, he that believes and is baptized, he says in that context, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So when we hear Jesus and believe Jesus, we've got to act upon his word, and he wants us to repent of our sins and confess him as the Christ and then be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, because that's what it means to really trust in Jesus. And that's what we need to do to trust in Jesus. Jesus has a plan, and he is the plan. Okay? He is the plan. And so we need to do what he says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus encourages us by telling us about a place, heaven. He encourages us by telling us about a plan. He is the plan. He encourages us by telling us about a person, the Father. Look what he says in verses 7 through 11. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. When we come to an understanding and a realization that God is real, and there are some people struggling with that, but for those of us who understand that God is real, I can't imagine not wanting to have a relationship with God. I can't imagine sitting there and saying, oh yeah, I know God is real, but you know, I really don't want to know Him. I really don't want to understand Him. I really don't want to be with Him. I just assume He not be around at all. I don't understand that. I wouldn't understand that. And to me, if there is a person who exists, who is the greatest being in the universe, then I want to know who He is. And I want to have a relationship with Him. And that's possible for us to be with Him. When we think about God, I think one of the first things, verses that comes to our mind is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who made it all, and He made us. Surely, He desires a relationship with us because He created us and He loves us. And this is the person that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the Father. He's talking about wanting to go be with the Father. And He's talking about the possibility of that happening through Him, knowing Him, understanding who He is. And that when we really get it, we're going to see that the Father lives in Jesus, and Jesus lives in the Father, and to see Jesus is to see the Father, and to know the Father, and to have a relationship with the Father. And I just can't imagine anyone saying, that's not for me, you know. I want to have a relationship with the Father. I want to know who He is. I want to know more about Him. I love that song that we sang tonight. You know, more about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. Right? More about Jesus. More about Jesus. What a wonderful song. We want to know more about Jesus because He is the one who tells us who the Father is. John chapter 1 and verse 17, a verse I like to quote often and frequently because it reveals to us something that we need to know about who Jesus is. John 1 verse, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. So that's how we know about the Father, is through Jesus. And Jesus reveals to us this person. And you see, it's through Jesus that we can come to know the Father. But there's an even greater message than that. And the message is this. Not only can we come to know who the Father is, but we can be in His family. What a great blessing to know that we can be part of the family of God, the family of Jesus, the family of His Father, and be in and of ourselves children of God. Look at Galatians chapter 3 for just a moment. Galatians chapter 3 and starting at about verse 26. Now, and listen to what Paul the Apostle writes here. He says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, we're not... And we go even further here, you see. It's so encouraging. Because not only can we know who God is, we can be in His family. We can be His children. And not only can we be in His family and be His children, but we can inherit the blessings that He has in store for us for eternity. We're in the will. You see? That's great. That's great. Now I say this. This is chapter 4, verse 1. As long as he is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What a blessing! How encouraging is that, to know that we've been redeemed. We're no longer in slavery to sin, but we've been redeemed, and we've been bought back by Christ to be, to know God, to be in His family, and to be heirs, and to be able to call upon God, Abba, Father, as if He is our dearest and closest Father upon the earth itself. How encouraging is that? Jesus encourages us by telling us about a person, the Father. And then finally, He encourages us by telling us about the power of prayer. And that's verses 12 through 14. Now, we can get discouraged in this life, and things can happen that are beyond our control. And so Jesus gives us something that we can do in order to effect real change on the earth, and that is that we can pray. He says in verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." The power of prayer. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer changes things. I firmly believe that. I believe that after I pray, the world will be different. That it makes a difference. That it changes life to pray. Now, I have seen that happen in my life, and I've seen that happen in the lives of others, and I know that it's true. Now, I know a lot of people doubt that. A lot of people kind of scoff at that. But I don't, because Jesus said that's what will happen. He will take action if we pray to Him and if we really believe what we're praying for. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto the Father. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer changes things. And prayer helps me to have a life of peace and joy and love. And that makes a difference in this old world. And when people see that in my life, they want to know why you live different. Why I live different. Why things are different around me. And that can be shown to them through the power of prayer. Now that's encouraging. That is helpful. That will get me through the day when I'm not having a good day. So think about these words of encouragement that Jesus gives us. Jesus encourages us by telling us about a place, heaven. He encourages us by telling us about a plan. Jesus is the plan. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He encourages us by telling us about the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one that we want to know, that we can be in His family, that we can be His child, that we can be heirs, and that we can call upon Him as our dearest and closest Father. And He tells us about the power of prayer and how it makes a real difference in our lives and in the lives of others. What encouragement! He really encourages us here when He tells us these things. And so I hope you'll remember these words of encouragement from Jesus Himself. When you're having a tough day, when you're having a difficult time, turn to John chapter 14 and just read through these words in verses 1 through 14 and remember. Remember heaven. Remember Jesus. Remember the Father. And remember to pray. And that prayer makes a difference. Do you need the prayers of the church tonight? Do you need to become a child of God so that you can call upon your Father? Why not make those choices tonight while together we stand and while we sing?